Today's reading is taken from Isaiah, starting chapter 3, verse 18, through to chapter 4, verse 6. In that day, the Lord will snatch away their finery, the bangles and headbands and crescent necklaces, the earrings and bracelets and veils, the headdresses and ankle chains and sashes, the perfume bottles and charms, the signet rings and nose rings, the fine robes and the capes and cloaks, the purses and mirrors, and the linen garments and tiaras and shawls. Instead of fragrance, there will be a stench. Instead of a sash, a rope. Instead of well-dressed hair, baldness. Instead of fine clothing, sackcloth. Instead of beauty, branding. Your men will fall by the sword, your warriors in battle. The gates of Zion will lament and mourn. Destitute, she will sit on the ground. In that day, seven women will take hold of one man and say, "We will eat our own food and provide our own clothes. Only let us be called by your name. Take away our disgrace." In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of the survivors in Israel. Those who are left in Zion, who remain in Jerusalem, will be called holy, all who are recorded among the living in Jerusalem. The Lord will wash away the filth of the women of Zion. He will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire. Then the Lord will create over all of Mount Zion and over those who assemble there a cloud of smoke by day and a glow of flaming fire by night. Over all, the glory will be a canopy. It will be a shelter and shade from the heat of the day and a refuge and hiding place from the storm and rain.
Let's keep that passage open and we'll pray together. Father, we thank you for the reality of heaven. Thank you that one day we will be with you, living under the rule of King Jesus, free from sorrow, free from sin, all our struggles behind us. Lord, help us to focus today on heaven and to see this world in its proper perspective. In Jesus' name. Amen. The only monument in the world built in the shape of an insect to honour an insect is in Fort Rucker, Alabama. In 1915, the Mexican boll weevil invaded southeast Alabama and destroyed 60% of the cotton crop. In desperation, the farmers turned to planting peanuts. By 1917, the peanut industry had become so profitable that the county harvested more peanuts than any other county in the nation. In gratitude, the people of the town erected a statue and inscribed these words: "In profound appreciation of the boll weevil and what it has done as the herald of prosperity." The instrument of their suffering had become the means of their blessing. There are several ways you could use that illustration as a preacher. I don't know if I should give away trade secrets. Suffice to say, it introduces the theme of prosperity. The prophet Isaiah, writing in the 8th century BC, was writing in a time of great prosperity. Put simply, the people felt rich, and they felt they didn't need God, or at least, they didn't need to obey him. We're living, of course, in a time of austerity, but as a society, we're still relatively rich. And we feel we don't need God. The prophet Isaiah would say to us, that's a very dangerous situation to be in. Our wealth is temporary. Our health is temporary. And we certainly do need God. We need to get right with God. Because one day, as Sam was saying, we will stand before him as our judge. As you know by now, chapters 1 to 39 of Isaiah are dominated by the theme of judgment. God is going to punish his people's sin. This means they will be invaded by the Assyrians, then the Babylonians. Then they will be subject to Persia, when Persia becomes the regional superpower. Actually, they will never be free again for any length of time. Even since the re-establishment of the nation of Israel in 1948, they've been continuously under threat. Throughout the Bible, God promises his people peace and blessing under his rule in the land that he will give them. Very obviously, the physical land of Israel cannot be the fulfillment of this. The physical land of Israel is a picture of this, but a disappointment. The fulfillment of this promise is the new creation. If we belong to Christ, we can live in peace and prosperity as his people, under his rule, in heaven, in the new creation. The people of Isaiah's day have to learn not to live for prosperity now. We must learn to live not for prosperity now. We must learn to live for heaven, for the new creation, for solid joys and lasting treasures, for treasure in heaven, where moths do not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Let me show you why this is the case. There are two headings on your sheets. Prosperity doesn't last. Heaven does last. Firstly, then, prosperity doesn't last. Released in late 2010, Prosperity is a game about money. From the back of the box, ah, money. There's nothing like the sound of coins clinking in your hands. You vastly prefer it to the sound of coins clinking in someone else's hands. Life has been good to you. Just 10 years ago, you were tilling your own fields in a simple straw hat. Today, your kingdom stretches from sea to sea, and your straw hat is the largest the world has ever known. Sure, money can't buy happiness, but it can buy envy. You still have problems, troublesome neighbors that must be conquered, but this time you'll conquer them in style. Does that sound attractive? Well, according to verse 18, there is a day coming. We know by now this day is the day of the Lord, the day of Christ's return, the day of judgment, when Christ will return in glory to judge the living and the dead. And on that day, verse 18, the Lord will snatch away their finery, the bangles and headbands and crescent necklaces, the earrings and bracelets and veils, the headdresses and ankle chains, and so we could go on. On the day of judgment, we will lose our wealth. Remember how Sam ripped it all up? That provokes a very simple question. What is your attitude to your wealth? Do you love your wealth? Are you trusting in your wealth? We all have to face up to the fact that we cannot take it with us. On the day of judgment, it will be removed from us. And we will stand before Christ as equals. Wealth will count for nothing. It's extraordinary what people will do to amass wealth. People really do put their faith in wealth. John G. Wendell and his sisters were some of the most wealthy people of all time. Although they had received a huge inheritance from their parents, they spent very little of it and did all they could to keep their wealth for themselves. John was able to influence 5 of his 6 sisters never to marry, and they lived in the same house in New York for 50 years. When the last sister died, in 1931, her estate was valued at more than $100 million. Her only dress was one that she'd made for herself and worn for 25 years. The Wendells had such a compulsion to hold on to their possessions that they lived like paupers. So what's your attitude to wealth? Are you desperately trying to amass it? Are you afraid to spend anything? Prosperity doesn't last. Look at verse 24. Instead of fragrance, there will be a stench. I have a large collection of aftershaves. It's the sort of thing one tends to get given for Christmas and birthdays. They all sit on my dressing table or my chest of drawers. In theory, I like the idea of them. But try as I might, I cannot remember to put some on. On the one occasion I did remember to wear aftershave, Becca and I went out for coffee in Stevenage, and the waitress was reduced to coughing and spluttering and complaining about the terrible smell. That's not what the advert said would happen. Well, verse 24, instead of expensive perfume, on the day of judgment, there will be a stench. Prosperity is temporary. Instead of a sash, a rope. Instead of well-dressed hair, baldness. I used to live in fear of baldness. My mother's family go bald. My father's family keep their hair. They go grey, but they don't go bald. Well, when I was very young, a barber told me men always inherit their mother's hair. So I was convinced I would go bald. So I started spotting toupees. I knew a couple of men in Bridgend whom I was pretty convinced wore wigs. Then I asked my mother if we could visit the toupee shop in Cardiff. And we hung around outside spotting the wigs as the men came out. And so I could tell you a longer story about that. But I had a horror of going bald. Now I realize there are far more important things to worry about. But baldness here is a sign of God's judgment. It's not a sign of God's judgment now. It's just a picture to illustrate how on the day of judgment, God will take good things away. Verse 24, instead of fine clothing, sackcloth. Instead of beauty, branding. More seriously, verse 25, your men will fall by the sword, your warriors in battle. This has literally happened to Israel on several occasions. We've mentioned the Assyrians and the Babylonians dreadful as this picture was, it was a picture of the destruction that will come when Christ returns. Verse 26, the gates of Zion will lament and mourn. Destitute, she will sit on the ground. Zion is one of the mountains or hills on which Jerusalem was built. Zion was God's own city. It was there he chose for his glory to dwell, in the temple. When Christ returns, it will be destitute. I think this is because the whole of creation will be destroyed. Everything that we have considered prosperous will come to an end. Into chapter 4, verse 1. In that day, seven women will take hold of one man. They won't ask anything from him, merely for the privilege of being his wife. There'll be such poverty, such shortage, that women and everyone else will be reduced to desperate measures. Prosperity doesn't last. But secondly, heaven does last. The new creation will last. We will have everything that we need in the new perfect world which Jesus will create when he comes again. The old world, this world, will be destroyed, and the unforgiven will be consigned to hell. The forgiven, those who are trusting in Christ, will be with Christ, will rule with Christ, will steward the world in this new creation that Jesus will create. Look at verse 2. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious. Who is the branch of the Lord? It's God's King. It's King Jesus. This world of sin will be destroyed. Jesus will be seen to be beautiful and glorious. Today, he is a swear word. Today, he is a joke. On that day, all will fear him. He will judge all people. He will recreate the earth, and he will be seen to be glorious. And look at the new creation, verse 2. The fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of the survivors in Israel. After Israel was destroyed by the Assyrians and the Babylonians, there were some survivors. And these survivors are a picture of those who survive the return of Christ. Many people will be lost. Many people reject Christ. But there will be survivors. There will be the remnant, the elect, the true church, spiritual Israel. We will be with Christ, enjoying the new creation. Verse 3, we will be in Zion, in the new Jerusalem, of which Revelation 21 speaks. We will be with God. And we will be called holy. Won't that be wonderful? I hate my unholiness. I hate it when I think things I shouldn't think, say things I shouldn't say, do things I shouldn't do. Don't you feel like that? If you're a Christian, you will feel like that. The great news is, in the new creation, we will be called holy. We will have perfect bodies, and even better, perfect, sinless, holy characters. Never again will we let ourselves down. Never again will we let God down, verse 4, the Lord will wash away the filth of the women of Zion. Hallelujah. God is going to wash away our filth. He will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire. Cleansing is a costly thing. It cost Jesus death on the cross. The spirit of judgment and fire was seen on the cross when God judged sin. And Jesus took our judgment, our punishment, our place on the cross. He took the fire of hell so that we don't have to. It's no small thing to be cleansed. We are sinful people. And it takes judgment and fire, so to speak. Verse 5. Then the Lord will create over all of Mount Zion and over those who assemble there a cloud of smoke by day and a glow of flaming fire by night. Over all the glory will be a canopy. In other words, God's glory will live with us in the new creation. God's glory will be like smoke and fire. God's glory will be tangible in the new creation. Do you know the hymn? The sands of time are sinking. The dawn of heaven breaks. The summer morn I've sighed for. The fair sweet morn awakes. Dark, dark hath been the midnight. But dayspring is at hand. And glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. The king there in his beauty without a veil is seen. The lamb with his fair army doth on Mount Zion stand. And glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. I'm looking forward to that day. Let's finish with verse 6. The canopy will be a shelter and shade from the heat of the day and a refuge and hiding place from the storm and rain. Very topical. In other words, in Emmanuel's land, in the new creation, in the new Jerusalem, we will be safe. Don't you long to be safe? We will be safe from God's judgment. Jesus has taken our punishment. Jesus has taken our judgment, God's wrath. We will be safe from all that. We will be safe from physical harm. All physical suffering will be no more. No more death. No more sickness. No more pain, no more anxiety. We will be safe. And we will be safe from sin. Safe from our own sin, because we will have sinless characters. Safe from other people's sin. They will have sinless characters. I want to go to heaven. I want to be part of the new creation. Some of you will know that until fairly recently, I sang with a male quartet. We were all Christians, and one of the songs we sang was called I Want to Go to Heaven. It's actually a slightly comic song. It said that if the marriage supper of the Lamb was just a McDonald's Happy Meal, I'd still want to go to heaven. If my mansion had a terrible view, I'd still want to go to heaven. I'd still want to go to heaven because I want to be with Jesus. Being with Jesus, that will be the greatest reward of heaven. Prosperity doesn't last heaven does last. What are you trusting in? Are you prosperous? Are you rich? Riches are a blessing from God. They're to be used for His glory. Wealth is to be used for the expansion of God's kingdom. Too often, wealth is perverted so that it becomes our God, becomes what we're trusting in. Don't make that mistake. Put your trust in Christ, because prosperity will not last, but heaven will last. Are you going to heaven? You will not get to heaven by being good. We can never make ourselves good enough. We must rather trust in Jesus, in what He's done for us to take us to heaven. Are you trusting Him? Back to our hymn. Oh, I am my beloved's, and my beloved's mine. He brings a poor, vile sinner into His house of wine. I stand upon His merit. I stand upon His merit. I know no other stand, not even where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Is that you this morning? You know that Jesus is yours. You know that you're a vile sinner, but you know that He has given you His merit, His goodness. You have given Him your sin upon the cross. He has given you His perfection, so that you will not pollute Emmanuel's land, the new creation, heaven. You know that you're going there because you belong to Jesus, and therefore you want to live for Him from now on. You want to please Him. You want to serve Him. You want to tell others about Him. Is that you? Is that me? Well, let's pray for one another. Father, we've seen very clearly from Your word that worldly prosperity does not last. Only heaven lasts. So help us all to live with heaven as our goal. And grant each one of us so to trust in Christ that we may be given His merit and therefore access to the new creation. Grant us to trust in Christ alone, in whose name we pray. Amen.